All right, everyone, buckle up. We're diving into a topic that never seems to get old. Nazi UFOs. Were they real? Or is this just history getting a little too weird for us?
It's a question that just won't quit, is it?
Well, today we're going to try to separate fact from fiction. And the best part is, you get to come along for the ride.
I love a good deep dive. Where are we starting?
You know, we've got some seriously interesting stuff to work with on this one. Technical analyses, historical accounts, even a book boldly claiming to reveal the real story of the Nazi UFOs.
Oh, we've got a book, do we? That always makes things interesting. You know, it really is fascinating. This whole idea, as much as it gets dismissed as, you know, pure fantasy, it just keeps coming back. Makes you wonder about why we're so drawn to the what ifs, you know?
Yeah.
The things history could have hidden from us.
Absolutely. Like, what if the Nazis did have some secret weapon nobody knew about? It'd rewrite everything we thought we knew. But all right, before we go full conspiracy theory, let's set the stage a bit. Post-World War II, right? The world is still reeling, trying to pick up the pieces. And suddenly these stories about crazy advanced Nazi weapons start popping up left and right.
It's almost like a movie plot, isn't it? Here's the world trying to understand how a nation, literally on the verge of collapse, could have possessed such game-changing tech. It was the perfect breeding ground for speculation, a mix of fear, fascination.
Yeah, and maybe even a little hope for some that this kind of technology could be real.
Right. So where do these flying saucers fit into all of this?
Well, our sources point to one name in particular, Rudolf Schriever. Ever heard of him?
The name rings a bell. Something to do with, was it rockets?
Close. Try flying top. Picture this, a circular aircraft, vertical takeoff. Incredible speed, all thanks to jet engines mounted around the rim. I mean, come on, that's a pretty wild concept, even for today.
Sounds like something straight out of science fiction. But did it actually, you know, work?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And according to our sources, the answer is a big fat. Probably not.
Oh, how come? Too clunky, too heavy.
Well, for starters, imagine this thing actually trying to fly. You've got this big metal disc, right? And you strap these powerful jet engines all around the edge, firing them up to spin the whole thing for lift. Now, what happens to something that's spinning really fast?
It takes off, hopefully in the right direction.
Well, yes, but think about the force involved. Centrifugal force. Mm. Ever been on a merry-go-round?
It hasn't.
Okay, so you're spinning, and then you let go of the bar. What happens?
You go flying, of course. Wait, I see where you're going with this.
Exactly. Now, imagine those poor souls on the merry-go-round are heavy jet engines, and the merry-go-round itself is trying to fly.
Oh, yeah. That thing wouldn't just fly. It'd rip itself apart.
Exactly. The physics just don't add up, not to mention the weight of those engines alone. We're talking 1940s technology here. The whole concept just becomes impossibly heavy, impossibly impractical.
Okay, so Schriever's claims are starting to look a little far-fetched, but he wasn't the only one, was he? Weren't there others who came forward with these wild stories?
You're right. Schriever wasn't alone. In fact, after the war, a whole wave of these so-called inventors popped up, each claiming to have the inside scoop on Nazi flying machines.
Oh, this is good. It's like a, well, maybe not so secret society of engineers and scientists, all claiming to have cracked the code on anti-gravity or something. Tell me more about these guys.
Well, their stories, while entertaining, all share one common thread. A serious lack of hard evidence, which, let's be honest, is a bit of a running theme here.
Isn't it? You'd think with something as groundbreaking as a flying saucer, we'd have stumbled across something by now. Blueprints, photos, maybe even a prototype hidden in some bunker somewhere.
Right. Like, come on, a flying saucer. That would be a pretty big deal to just poof, disappear.
Exactly. And yet all we seem to have are these stories. It makes you wonder, how do we go from a few wild claims to a full-blown myth that just won't quit? It's like these stories have a life of their own, feeding off our fascination with the unknown.
It's the power of a good story, right? And speaking of stories, we've got to talk about the Hausmann photograph. Our sources mention this one. Apparently, it's a pretty compelling image.
Ah, the Hausmann photograph. This is a perfect example of how a single picture can fuel decades of debate and speculation.
Okay, so lay it on me. What are we looking at?
Imagine this. A disc-shaped object hovering in the sky. Get this, bright jets of light are shooting out from the edges, almost like those engines Schriever described.
Hold on. Are we saying there's actually a photo of one of these things? Case closed, right?
Not so fast. Even this photo has been put through the ringer, analyzed from every angle. And, well, let's just say there's a good chance it might be more smoke and mirrors than alien tech.
Oh, come on.
Really? Some experts believe it could be a clever hoax, maybe even staged using fireworks or some other visual trickery, and then, you know, touched up for good measure.
Wow. So even the evidence we do have is basically useless. It's kind of mind-boggling, don't you think, that people would cling to these stories so tightly, especially in a time when the world was trying to rebuild, to move on from the war. You'd think they'd have bigger things to worry about than Nazi flying saucers.
It's like they say, never let the truth get in the way of a good story, right? Plus, you can't discount the human element here, that allure of the unknown, the desire to believe in something bigger, more mysterious, even if it means bending reality a bit.
It's more exciting that way, I guess. But let's not forget, sometimes there's profit to be made in perpetuating these myths. Our sources specifically mentioned the V7 Flak Mine and that book we talked about earlier, Flying Saucers from Naziland.
Right. It's almost as if the lack of concrete evidence makes these stories easier to sell, you know? People are free to fill in the blanks with their own imaginations, their own theories. Suddenly you've got model kits, documentaries, books, all capitalizing on this mystery, this idea that maybe, just maybe, there's some truth to it all.
Speaking of the V7 Flak Mine, this thing was supposed to be a super weapon, right? Like next level terrifying stuff.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, it all started with a sketch.
You got it. Just the sketch. Someone, somewhere, drew this terrifying disc-shaped weapon, bristling with guns, and slapped a label on it, V7 Flakmine. And that name, pure genius, if you ask me, because it immediately conjures up images of those V2 rockets, you know? Those terrifying weapons that rain down on London.
So people see that V7 and instantly think, oh no, not another terrifying Nazi weapon, even if they have no idea what it actually is.
Exactly. But are you ready for the real kicker? There's absolutely zero evidence that the V7 Flakmine ever existed beyond that single solitary sketch.
Wait, seriously,
Yeah.
you're telling me this fearsome super weapon, this thing of nightmares, could just be some bored engineer's doodle?
It's entirely possible, but hey, that's the power of a good story, especially one rooted in fear and uncertainty. That single sketch, as dubious as it may be, was more than enough to get people's imaginations going. People ate it up. Model kits were produced, stories were written, and boom, the V7 Flakmine cemented its place in the world of Nazi UFO lore.
Wow, that's incredible. It really makes you think twice about
Huh?
all the information out there, you know, what we choose to believe, what we accept as fact. But stepping back for a moment, why do you think these stories, specifically about Nazi technology, about flying saucers, why do you think they continue to capture our imagination so fiercely, even today? What is it about them that's so appealing? It's like we've all seen those movies, right?
Yeah.
The shadowy organizations, the secret underground bunkers, scientists in lab coats working on these crazy inventions.
It's the perfect recipe for a good thriller.
Exactly. And you can't deny the Nazis did have some seriously brilliant minds working for them. I mean, they pushed the boundaries of science and technology in some pretty terrifying ways. But flying saucers, that feels like a whole other level of crazy.
It's one thing to develop advanced rocketry, jet propulsion, even those early helicopter designs they were working on. We know they were ahead of the game in a lot of ways. But to make that leap from those technologies to, I don't know, anti-gravity flying saucers, that's a big leap.
Giant leap.
And a leap that would require some pretty extraordinary evidence, which so far we just don't have.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate for a moment, just for fun. Humor me. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, that somewhere in some vault buried deep underground,
Right.
there is proof.
Proof of what exactly?
Proof that the Nazis were, at the very least, attempting to build a flying saucer. Shouldn't we have found at least a hint of it by now? A breadcrumb.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? If this technology existed, if it was as advanced and as game-changing as these stories make it seem, wouldn't there be some trace of it? A piece of metal, a blueprint, a stray note scribbled on the back of a napkin, something.
And wouldn't it have, actually changed things, historically speaking? I mean, if the Nazis had flying saucers at their disposal, wouldn't World War II have played out a lot differently?
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine it? Nazi flying saucers, armed to the teeth, appearing out of nowhere, raining down fire on unsuspecting cities.
It's a terrifying thought.
It's a terrifying thought, but it also highlights just how significant this kind of technological advantage would have been. We're not talking about a slight edge in warfare. We're talking about a complete and total game changer.
And yet, here we are. Left with more questions than answers. It's almost as if the lack of concrete evidence, the mystery itself, just makes these stories even more enticing.
The human brain craves answers. We're hardwired to try and make sense of things, to connect the dots, to fill in the blanks. And when we can't, that's when things get really interesting. Our imaginations kick into overdrive.
So, as we wrap up our deep dive into the wild world of Nazi UFOs, what's the takeaway here? What do we learn today? What do we want our listeners to remember?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. Curiosity is a good thing. It's what drives us to learn, to explore, to uncover the truth. But it's so important, absolutely crucial, to pair that curiosity with a healthy dose of skepticism, especially when we're dealing with these extraordinary claims, these stories that seem almost too fantastic to be true.
Don't just take things at face value. Don't accept something just because it sounds cool or because it fits into some narrative. Dig deeper. Ask questions, demand evidence.
The truth, even if it's not as sensational as a Nazi flying saucer, is always, always more fascinating in the end.
I love that. And on that note, that's a wrap on another deep dive. A huge thank you to our expert for joining us today, and of course, to all of you for listening in. Remember to keep asking those questions, keep challenging those assumptions, and never, ever stop exploring. We'll catch you in the next one.